Welcome to this introductory lecture on system development. I am Monica Johannessen.
I am Leikne Øgrim.
And we are both professors at Oslo and Akershus University College of Applied Sciences. Leikne, what is system development?
System development is the whole process of designing or developing ICT-based systems. Mm. And when we're talking about ICT-based systems, we mean not only the software, but the software and the organization where it's supposed to be used, and the user or the users that are supposing to actually use the software. Mm. Or it can also be called PSO system, where P stands for personnel, S for software, and O for organization. And we talk about ICT-based systems. And what is a system then? Mm-hmm. A system is defined by Kristen Nygaard as he used to say, something that you can draw a cycle around, something that you can put into a cycle. Mm-hmm. So it's something regarded by someone as a whole. It's during a time frame, and for some reason. And a system consists of component and actions seen as relevant. how can you do this in practice? How can you visualize it or do it in practice?
Let us then start with the traditional model of system development. It is typically presented like this in as what we call a life cycle, and it's very sequential. You start with change analysis, and then you do the analysis, then design and realization, then implementation, taking it into use, and then use and maintenance, and finally shutting down the system. So this is a typical way of saying that you're doing it in phases, and you're doing it the first, and then the second, and the third.
So you have to finish one phase then before the next one.
That is the kind of traditional way of seeing it. And that is, of course, having control of resources, of cost, and everything. And it's also a question about contracts. You know, then you could do the analysis and design, and you can say, is this what you really want? And then the buyer of the system paid a certain amount and then got the system. And then you can go back and say, but as we agreed upon, this what was we had a contract on delivering. So it was a cost control system and a time control system. Okay, but the main challenges of this model, this way of working, it was a lack of fulfillment of requirements, that they actually could not always deliver what was wished or stated, and also very often not in time. It took much more time than planned. And it's also another time issue, namely that there's a very long time from the analysis and design phase where people were saying what they wanted to have and what at the time where it was actually implemented and taken into use. And also it was an issue of user satisfaction, that what was described very abstract and in models at this time, that's we showed up to be something totally different when it comes to implementation and realization. And finally, it's a lack of flexibility, because this was this idea that you do the first thing and then the next thing. So these was the main big issues regarding the traditional model. So how then did the field work with the challenges that this model was kind of insufficient for describing what's actually happened?
Well, this is not a model or subscription of how to do things. This is a model of understanding the process of system development. This model can be used both to understand or describe every process and also every method of system development. It says here different functions. This is function oriented. It describes the different functions that every system development process is containing.
Mm.
And it is dialectical in the way that it's contradictions between the different functions. And on one side, you see it's product oriented over to the left, and then the process oriented functions.
Mm.
And we will first look into the product oriented function. That is the real design process, whereas the process oriented is the management process, or how to organize the development process. The product-oriented or the design process is also divided into the upper side and the lower side. And the upper side, that is reflective functions. And the lower side is the real actions.
Mm.
So it's reflection and action. Yes. And the reflective functions, they are also divided into the visionary ones and the ones that reflect the present reality. The visionary functions, it's design.
Mm.
What are we going, how are we going to do, how is it going to look like, how is it going to work? And the analysis is about how is it working, is the present reality.
Mm.
But then the present reality and the future reality, they are in mutual influence, of course, and they also conflict each other in a way, because it's difference. So it's the presence and the future, and it's reflection and it's action, and it's product oriented and it's process oriented, and it's sort of mirroring on the management side.
Yes, because the most of what we are talked about is here on the product side. What are we going to make? But here you have a kind of, as I said, mirror for what, how we can manage this, how we can cope with doing the project and manage how people work and what do we learn about from this, and all these kind of project management aspects.
Yes. So this model, at least it can show it's a very complex process, and it's a complex field to work with. But maybe we have some models that can show how to do it in practice.
Yes.
Can you show us that?
But a little bit before we do that, Leitner, we need to explain what a method is.
Yes.
A method or a recipe or a framework, that is something you utilize when you try to do some system development. And these methods, they inform you, first of all, about the application era. What kind of systems can you develop using this method? And today, very many systems are web-based, of course. But we have also these kind of more in-house office system. And for instance, those systems that are particular for a certain working group in an office that can have a particular learning and training for that system can be quite different from those presented on the web, where you don't know very much about your user. So this is, for instance, one thing you have to consider choosing a method. Another thing is the perspective. And perspective can be, what is the main idea about this method? Should, for instance, the data in the system be the one that is deciding the design or the development? Or is it the processes, how you work? Or is it a mixed combination that you both focus on functions and data? And then finally, a very important part of perspective is also user participation, of course.
And interests.
And interests, yes. And then there, a method should also have some guidelines. And first of all, there's some techniques. Techniques is how to do something. You have, maybe you sometimes have learned how to make a sauce, and this is a technique. Steering in the sauce to make it. And then you need some tools. You need, for instance, computer aids. You need programs, program language. You need something to draw with. You need some kind of tools to realize the ideas you're having. And finally, there is the method should say something about the principles of organization. And that is about how you can coordinate the process, how you inform participants, who is involved, and so on.
But in fact, that is not a part of all system development methods.
No.
As we have worked with a lot of different methods, we know that this is not really a part of every system development method. But according to this, from the textbook, it's an ideal of methods, actually. They think it should be a part of every method, but it is not.
Okay, but then, now being very kind of superficial on what methods and system development is, this, do you think that this way of working is relevant also today, Leitne?
Yes, I think so. Even if what we have talked about with traditional participatory design systems or traditional system development, it's mostly about designing systems for work organizations where you have a management and you have employees and you have defined user groups. And today, this is not always the case anymore. You often design systems for communities being defined geographically, like neighborhoods, being designed by identity, for instance, children or youth or different interest groups like traffic or football or feminism or pedagogy or different groups like this. So that is quite different from the very defined and physical groups of people.
Yeah. So we can say again, now we see how, for instance, people are making a website for their football team using a content management system. They are doing something for their hobby with a Facebook, and they co-develop a group site or whatever they call it. It is that these new technologies that most people can use actually is an arena for doing system development iteratively.
Yes, and you can say that this technology makes it easier to do participation and to do iterative system development. On the other hand, it's more difficult with these volunteer groups because then there are not the participants don't have these long-lasting commitments. So they can come and go, and that is new challenges.
Unreliable users.
Yes, and also there can be some challenges with resources and competence in the user groups. So that should, in a way, conclude our short presentation in system development.
Yes.